Baller, hurler, basketballer, golfer, oarsman, cox, trainer, coach, selector, umpire, linesman, bagman, masseuse, chairman, medicine man, ring of Kerry cyclist, Kerry captain, Kerry winning captain, etc. Johnny Culkey, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk.
Thanks very much, Rishi. The only thing I'm sharp to play is but it's a red book.
Tidn't too late for that yet. Tidn't too late for that yet. Johnny, 50 years of direct involvement in Kerry sport, still going stronger than ever. What motivated you to keep going for 50 years?
I don't know, Rishi. I'd say it was just the way of life with me. I started out, I suppose, with the Killarney Hurlers, I suppose, in the early days. First of all, of course, I started in the monastery school and moved on to the seminary from there. And, you know, in the latter years, it became a way of life for me. So it's the very same as going to school or going to work. Football and hurling and the Gaelic games took over, and I didn't see any other way of life, really, and it suited me.
I'll put my cards on the table very early on, Wishy, and I spent a lot of my youth working in Killarney, and there was one person out of Killarney that was Johnny Culkey. He was head and shoulders above everyone else, and I worked down in the Ross Hotel, and one of the people that looked after us when we were in Killarney in football was Johnny's brother, Mikey, and Lord have mercy in his soul. But whether Johnny Culkey was always Mikey's brother, and knowing Mikey was like knowing Johnny, and Johnny was part of the Kerry set-up, and to me, it was part of what we were when we were growing up.
Johnny, now that Amy mentioned Mickey there, we'll talk about him. He was a great friend of yours. You were great buddies, the two of you, and people would say that he could have been even better than you. Hotel work was tough enough, and I suppose to be fair to say, he died where he'd prefer to die, outside Croke Park. You weren't far away from
him. Well, before Johnny said, Mikey would say he was better than Johnny.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Weishi. We were inseparable, really, growing up, you know. The early Legion teams, we played together. I was able to continue going to school to St. Brendan's, whereas he wouldn't walk into Glebe Hotel originally. Now, when we were growing up at home, we played hurling and football at home around the front garden and around the road. We kicked around Gerald Lander's house there, Bill Lander's son. That was our, we played up and down the road. At that time, we felt the cars were an encumbrance. They'd pass along there. This time, I'm talking about the 40s now, you know, when there were very few cars on the road. And, you know, one would only pass now and then. We spent our life at that, our early years, kicking around there in Maitre. And from there, we progressed up to the park when we got a bit happier. So you could say we were inseparable those early years. And if you took his career as well, for a fella that had very little training as such, no, I never saw the man do your round in the field of my life. Never saw him do your round. But he played with the Killarney Hurlers for, I'd say, about 14 years. And he played with the Legion, I'd say, for about the same number of years. I'll always remember one incident at home myself, like, you know, we're playing around the front garden. He used to puck from the loose roadside, and I'd stand inside in front, the front window of the house. You know, inside in goal was the place to be. There was a window at my back. And the same day now, we were playing about 5 goals to get in, you know. So I was beating him handily the same day. And I was kind of grigging him. And the next thing, anyway, I suppose he took it poorly. And the next thing, a bullet by him passed my head, window gone. And the far side of the room, there was a mirror as well that went as well. I tell you, you wouldn't see the two of us legging it out over the wall.
Johnny, I'd nearly be safe to say that was the first goal you let in, was it?
Well, it was a penalty as well.
No, Johnny, finally about Mickey, because I was anxious to remember him more than anybody, because he was a good friend of mine, and he died outside Croke Park.
He did. We went up that day, and old Don, Sean, and Mickey and myself, we went up to the All-Ireland, and he took his time going up and down to the field. We went away, and he said to move on, and he'd be behind us and things like that. So we came down. We weren't parked so far from the field after the game. So we came back to the car, the rest of us, and he was a bit slow coming. So we waited on a bit, and the next thing I was getting a bit flustered about it, a half an hour passed and an hour passed. So I said to the lads, "Geez," I said, "he's gone into some pub, is it?" And in fairness to one of the lads, they said to me, no, he said, he won't do that, he'll come with us, he'd be back. So at that stage, then, I got a bit worried about him. So we went back up and down to Croke Park several times, walking up and down the road, and eventually I asked the policeman on a motorbike to know any other accident reports to the Rentian during the day, and he told me that he had attended Jones's Road outside the field, he said, at a man who was after getting an attack. So he said, have you got a car? I said, we had. So he said, I'll give you an escort up to the hospital, and you can see whether he was, you know, whether that would be any relation of yours or any, you know. So we went up to the hospital, and then we discovered him dead, like, and, you know, I spoke to him inside in the hospital, and, you know, he was the same as ever, if you like. He wasn't good, you know, I knew he wasn't well, but at the same time, just kind of matter-of-fact talk, he said, like, you know, you take off my shoes, he said, my feet are cold, he said, but, he never pulled out of it anyway. She lost the way.
That's right. Made us undress slightly, you know, because he was a great footballer, a great GM.
I'll tell you, he was a great friend to us when we were growing up, because he used to encourage us to take the couple of hours off and go and kick football. Johnny, just talking about hurling and what it is, why would hurling be important in Killarney, and why was it important in those days?
Give me a thing about it at that time. You'd have to take it in context, Jim. And football at that time, no, it wasn't a game that was round the clock, the same as at the present time. That time, now, you had time for every game, really, you know. Even if you took the All-Ireland final, now, of 1955, I came on as a sub in the Munster final, and I can't remember training for the Munster final, you know. So Dr. Amer would be called on, I'd say, for the semi-final against Cavan. I'd say we didn't do any training the first day, and possibly only about a week or something for the second day under Dr. Amer against Cavan. And then we trained full time for the final. So if you took it in that context, we had plenty of time. Like, you know, we'd go to the field for a few pucks. We'd go to the field playing football. We had time to go down rowing in the regattas. We had time to play basketball in the winter time. Time to go to the club. The only thing we found very little time for was study. That was the thing that came, I said, last in the agenda, really.
Johnny, before we go for a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out, where did the football and the sport come from? Was there a huge background of sport in the colleges?
I haven't read about them anyway.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We're going for a short break. And if you want to join in, 066-712-3666 or 064-344-44. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Yes, indeed, Mihalo here, once again there, describing what was probably Johnny Cullity's greatest moment ever, when he saved from Sean Evans, when Don Kerry won the All-Ireland, he was captain. We'll be talking about all that later on, but before we do, we're going to the comment line, because there's a man in the comment line, Johnny, who played with you, who played against you, and he'll never forgive you for depriving him of a county championship hurling medal. John Barry, the Kerry man, you're welcome to tell us, Doc.
Thank you, Richie.
You'll never forgive him for depriving you of that medal.
Well, it was a real heartbreak for us, because Killarney were the fourth one outsiders in that county final in 1969, and a certain Tobinsley actually had the champagne behind the bar ready to uncork.
John, just before we talk to you about Johnny, and in particular about his hurling, I want to give the listeners a little idea of how good a hurler they said he was. And I'm quoting John Barrett, a few quotes from your own great friend, the late John Barrett, in the Kerry Men. Now, after Munster Senior Championship hurling, Kerry lost to Waterford 3-9 to 2-4 at Kinmare. And the Kerry Men reported the following week, I find the task of picking Kerry's best player even harder than did the Waterford forwards in trying to put a shot past Johnny Cullity on Sunday. The honour could go to Cullity, Mitchell or McGillicutt or Healy. I can't make up my mind. In goal was Johnny Cullity, sorely handicapped by an injured knee sustained in a challenge game on Friday night. The organisers, he said, of that game were rather indiscreet. High and low balls came at him with all the speed which Donald Whelan, Frankie Welch, Larry Guinan and Tom Cheesty can put into them. Yet Cullity was supreme. Round after round of applause, he won for some magnificent clearances. And it can be honestly said that he was not at fault for any of the three shots that beat him. And finally, John Barry, just before you talk to us, the Kerry Senior Hurling County Championship semi-final of 1969. Killarney 4-12 or Dorney 4-4. They went on to beat E in the final, of course, and once again John Barrett, that great writer from the Kerrymen, was in. And he said, and I quote him, "For Johnny Quality and his small band of hurling fellows in Killarney, this was a most rewarding hour. From the start, it was obvious they had trained hard, and with Quality's inspired the hurling around the middle of the field, they were always ahead. There can be no denying the fact that this was Quality's game. From the start, he was in a class of his own, giving his side the opening point with a massive 8-yard free in the first minute, and indeed at the end, Johnny was back in his own goal line to make several spectacular saves that broke the back of O'Donoghue's despairing rally." John, was all that exaggerated?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The man oozed class. That's the first thing I'd say about him, you know. He had a wonderful temperament, a cool head, was an absolutely terrific reader of the game. And, you know, I suppose he definitely, as I said, he was in the class of his own. No question about that. And I would say that it didn't matter what sport he played, Johnny would have conquered any sport. Absolutely.
John, I was asking Johnny Colty there about the love of hurling that people that seem to come from football backgrounds like yourself and Johnny, why was it so strong at that time, and what brings that love of hurling out?
Well, I think that the Soccer Hurling Board, no, I don't think it was there going back that far back in the late 50s, but I think we set it up in the 60s. But that meant a lot to hurling and soccer. And of course, you go back and you remember the great Carvin team. Hurling was very strong in soccer, and you know, there was always a good representation of county players from the area. And I don't know, it's really off the stacks, like was a fierce, I suppose, maker for it, and Killarney was always very strong, Kinmare, Carvin. You know, for some reason, the area always produced a good stock of hurlers.
Johnny? Of course, there was great hurlers in your time, wasn't there? I mean, John Barry, there was a great hurler himself, of course, and you played with some outstanding players, didn't you?
Oh, no doubt about it. We see John Barry was an outstanding player. Gave great service and career, and he wouldn't be alone from Tralee. If you look now, you see here, Nicholas Quill played from Tralee. There were many other fellas in South Kerry at the time. If you look now at that 1958 team, I was playing goal myself, now you see he was playing. You had fellas like Sean Healy from Kilgarvan, and you had Josie White and Thomas Randalls. All those fellas like were from South Kerry, from Tralee South. The hurling, as John said there, was very strong, the South at the time. We had Mitchell's had a good team, Stacks had a good team, we had a team fairly good ourselves, Tregarvan, Kinmare. You don't see that at the moment, we see. I suppose it's not easy for Kerry to produce a good hurling team unless it gets a bit more widespread again, I think.
John, how would you rate him in the line of great hurlers all over Ireland, whether in goal or whether out the field?
I have no doubt that Johnny Colty would have got his place on any county team. Because, as I say, he had the temperament, he had the head, and he had the class. And, you know, I was only talking to his great friend, Niall Sheehy, the other evening about him. And, you know, Niall played in front of him on so many occasions. And he said that Johnny was, you mightn't believe it now, because he's such, he comes across as such a quiet guy, but that he was a wonderful motivator in goal. He was a wonderful of the game, and as Niall said, you'd never see a forward loose when Johnny was directing the traffic. And if I might just go on, Niall told me one very good story about Johnny in 1962 in the Whitsunday tournament in Killarney. Johnny, as I said, directed traffic, told Niall, go for that ball. Niall went for the ball about 25 yards out the field. And if he did, a guy called Don Feely of Roscommon got to the ball before him, slipped inside and stuck it in the net. Niall ambles back in and Jesus, he says, Johnny, you'll totally go for that ball. I did, said Johnny, but not at that pace.
Listen, John, Kerry Hurlers had some notable successes in the National League at that stage.
Well, Johnny won. I think Johnny has 4 National League medals, I think from 57, 67, 68, and yeah, early on, and 62, you know, which is, I'd say that's the limit of, that's not the most that any player has had. I think Niall has, he has 4 as well. Of course, he has the All-Ireland medal, junior medal from 1961. You know, that was Kerry's, remember, Kerry's first All-Ireland hurling victory in 70 years. And of course he has, as you mentioned earlier, that county championship medal from 69. And I think I was reading Johnny was honoured there recently, I think by the Legion Club, and Johnny said that he prizes that county championship medal from 1969 in very dearly indeed.
John Valley, listen, thanks for joining us, John.
And I hope you have a great programme with you, and enjoy the rest of the night.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
Now, just before we talk to Johnny, 1957, Johnny, you won't remember this. The Kerry Junior Hurlers lost to Tipperary 4-15 to 2 points at Clonmel. Once again, John Barrett was on the ball. We can thank our stars that Johnny Cullity returned to save us from demolition, if in fact he said we were saved from its fate. In the course of the hour, he made at least 20 saves of such calibre that even one of his kind would have earned a star tag. Probably the greatest tribute to his wizardry was paid by the Tipperary spectators, many of whom gathered behind his goal in the second half to applaud and marvel at his quick eye and courageous defensive ability. High praise, Armandale.
And just a memory here sent in from a Sean Joseph O'Connor, or Conacoir from Tralee, and he says Johnny Cullity was playing goals for Kerry Miners in the first round of a Munster Minor Championship. He was defending the Hortons Hotel at Astonstack Park. In attempting to save a low shot, the ball bounced off his early over the right shoulder, and with the agility of a cat, Johnny did a 180-degree turn on his right foot in a split second, connected with the ball and cleared it out over the line. He says, this is a memory that I cherish, and he got a great round of applause, and he says, well done to Johnny. That's from Sean Shores of Oconacour from Tralee.
Nice one, Sean, thanks. Johnny, getting back now to your background, tell us where you came from, where your people came from, and was there a fierce sporting background there? Talk to us about that.
Well, I was born, as you know, Weeshie, just up the road here in Lewis Road, just at the junction of St. Anne's Road and Lewis Road. That would be in my Eitza territory, we call it ourselves. And down through the years, my Eitza had a great tradition of hurling and football. And I suppose we started out there. My neighbours now would be Paddy Murphy in the Hearts and Bill Anders at the time. His son, Gerald Anders, played hurling with us after. All the people around my Eitza, we were a kind of a unit in ourselves up there at that time. It would be like the Cloaks and Leeds, you know, really. You came from the same district yourself. We had Liam Murphy there, and we had the Shears, and we had the Hearts, as I said, and we had the Longs, and countless other families there, like, you know. And we built up a kind of a tradition there. Tiggy Fleming came from that area there. So we were always playing hurling and football together. Now, the one thing about it was, you're asking about my own family. My father, he came from Guinea of Gwilla, a place called Jib. Maori Kivan is the name of the place, a tough area, I'd say, like, you know, and fairly hardly fellas came out of it. My mother came from the Strife, they were McCarthy's. And the one thing about it, the careers in hurling and football moved along with my family as well. My grandfather worked at St. Finian's Hospital for 45 years. He worked there from 1905 until 1950. And I went in there myself in 1956, and I'm still there. So my career in hurling and football kind of moved along together, like, you know. And the one thing about my family, my father was a great follower of the Legion. If there was any football in my family, the Coopers now would be related to myself. They were cousins of mine. They played with the Legion originally. They both played with Kerry. I never knew of any of my ancestors to play football other than that. My father now, I'd say, one All-Ireland I ever saw him at. He went to 1955 final. My mother was never at a football game in her life. I never saw her above in the Fitzgerald Park. But at the same time, if you came home to my mother with 40 stitches or a broken ankle or a broken knee, it was the same story all the time. She was a very laid-back woman, and she just took it in her stride, and she said, well, you'd want to get it fixed up, and that would be all about it, like, you know.
Yeah. And your career then moved on, John. You played in goal then for the Killarney senior hurlers when you were only. Talk to us about that, and bring us up to we said before you played with the Killarney senior footballers.
Well, I started, first of all, I suppose, playing hurling, really. Before football, I would play with the Killarney minors in 1950. I played for 5 years with the Killarney minor hurlers, and I played for 4 years with the Kerry minor hurlers. And Killarney, amazingly enough, we won 3 minor county championships in that stage. We won in 50, 51, 52, and I'd say we were beaten in either 53 or 4. One of them was the final, and I don't know where we finished up, maybe a semi-final or something as well. But I started playing in 51. Killarney did well. They had a team in the minor county championship in hurling, and they were in the senior final as well. The minors won, and the seniors were beaten in the final by Cratter. And Fitzgerald's won the minor and senior county championship football at the same time. So I played in one game with the seniors in 51.
What year did you
then? I reckon I was about just gone 14 years of age. Paddy Griffin was a regular goalkeeper, and I think he went in holidays for some one of the games. I'm not exactly sure which game it was. So I was playing with the Kerry minor hurlers, and I was put into a game.
Of course, you were playing minor basketball with Kerry, Johnny, and minor football with Kerry. Talk to us about that side of it.
Well, I suppose if basketball, as you know, Wishy, at that time, as I said, the games finished like around September, October, like, you know, and we didn't start again until March. We spent the winter playing basketball with Killarney. There was Killarney with a great tradition of basketball. There was a lot of basketball played in Tralee Course, very stronghold. Listowel had a team and Carsevine had a team and Killarney was very strong in basketball. So from 1949, to started in Killarney, it's by Bill Barrett. He was a man that came to town. He was the leader of the Preston Reed Band at the time as well. And stalwarts of the basketball at that time now would be the likes of Pa Bryan and the Conans and Michael Courtney and all those, like, you know, and they organised an excellent league. There was minor, junior, every kind of a league, and it was a great pastime in the winter. I played a good share of it, and I played with Kerry a few games as well. Fairly, you know, successfully enough at local level, anyway.
Before we go away into the inter-county scene, was it always going to be the Legion, Johnny?
Well, my father was a follower of the Legion, really. He never played football. And as I say, my cousins, the Coopers, were Legion. So it's like any tradition, I suppose. You follow in the tradition of your forefathers, so that's the way it went, anyway.
Well, now, when we come back, we're going to talk to Johnny about probably one of the most heartbreaking defeats, maybe, that he suffered, the 1954 Minor All-Ireland, when Dublin snatched victory from the jaws of defeat in extra time. 066...
Ali Shanley and Ali... But he's still got the ball. A high attacking ball across the double fist again. And Johnny Kennedy stays in the goal. Johnny out to this part of the field, but Tom Prendergast is waiting for it.
Yeah, and you're very welcome back to Tell Us Talk. If you want to join in, by all means, 066-712-3666, 064-344-444. And the card here for Johnny, thanks for all the enjoyment you gave us in a checkered sporting career. And it comes from Tighe, Maureen and family, and she says she had to get it in. What did she say? Up the Croaks. P.S., you were a loose road, my Eater and Killarney man, and we were all proud of you.
Paddy O'Shea, who's up at the stadium training, best wishes to Johnny. Congratulations to Johnny from Jean Moriarty Fosser and all his friends in the O'Connell unit at St. Finian's. Congratulations to Johnny Culty, a true sportsman and gentleman from Willie Maguire from Arthur and Slee, a great holding man. And Seamus Farrell via Haddo was in St. Brendan's College in 1972. They were trained by Father Hagerty. He brought Johnny Culty in to help. He was a great influence on the lads, very convincing and genuine.
Just before we go to the comment line, Johnny, 1961, he won the All-Ireland Junior Hurling All-Ireland, a great win, and he beat Meath at home 4-9-5-3, and he beat London away 4-12-2-5. And once again, John Barrett was on the ball. He said Johnny Culty started in the left wing against Antrim in the semi-final and finished up in the right corner. The Killarney man has uncanny ball control and can pick off points from all angles. He takes all games in his stride. Some of his crosses on Sunday were reminiscent of his feats when playing in the same position for the football team. One can hardly say more. His goals were opportunist and valuable, and as the scoreboard tells us, they really made the difference at the end. That's John Barrett of the Kerrymen talking 1961 after he winning the All-Ireland. We're going to the comment line now. Johnny, great friend of yours, Mick Dwyer, on his way to training. Mick, you're welcome to Tell Us Talk.
It's an honour to be with you tonight, Mike, because
yep.
You're one of the
best in there, Mick. Talk away, Mick. Your memories of Johnny.
My memories of Johnny going back a long, long way. I suppose they ran the Kerry Minor team together in 1954. And then, of course, we progressed from there. Johnny, of course, got on the scene. He came quickly at corner forward and made a big mark as a forward. I suppose he would have been one of the greatest forwards of all time, only for the injury that he got to his knee at that time. I suppose that would have been a crucial ligament nowadays. Whereas then, I don't know, they called it a capital ligament. He got a hurt knee or something. But he ended his career as a forward with Kerry. But then I remember well when we were looking for players in 1968. I was the county selector at that time. And George Keane of Lickstar came to me with an idea. And we had a big chat about it. And I decided that we'd play a past Kerry team to play the present Kerry team of that time. And of course, one of the first men in my mind, of course, no doubt, was Johnny Cullity. And Johnny came back to help Kerry as a goalkeeper at that period and became an outstanding goalkeeper. But if you were looking for a man of the millennium, a GA man of the millennium, a sportsman of the millennium, there surely you have truly one of the great men, I think, that ever represented Gaelic football in Kerry. A player who was also official of his club, trained and coached under 10s, under 12s, all the ways up, and he's still going strong, like myself. He's still managing the Legion football team. You hadn't any luck on Sunday, Johnny, but I'm sure luck will come, and with the amount of work that you put in and the knowledge that you have of the game, I think there's no doubt with Legion, of course, are there and thereabouts and will stay there while you're in charge.
Well said, Mick.
Thanks very much, Mick, for all the kind remarks there. It's not a patch in your career. I was just going to mention you anyway again tonight. There's no doubt about it. You started, as I say, in 1954 with myself. You didn't get on the minor team that year. You were on over in Kinmare one day, and you scored, I don't know how you scored, you got about two or three goals, and I don't know how many pints the same day, but you didn't get on it.
I got the hammer.
Well, we had a selector at the time, so it was a bit of a help too, I suppose.
Well, you well deserved your place in that team, I can assure you.
All right, then, all right.
You had a great minor run, and that was an All-Ireland, I suppose. It could have been one, there's no doubt about it.
We had no chance.
That happened in the game, as you know yourself, Johnny.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Nick, you must take the loss as well as the wins.
Nick, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And listen, all the best. You're off to training.
I'm off to training, is right. And I'm trying to do something with these fellas up here.
Yeah,
it's going to be a hard road back. But they had a good result last Sunday there in the under-21 team against Meath.
Yeah.
So things are looking up, and let's hope that we'll be able to put up a good performance against down the champions.
Yeah, I know about you, Will.
Best of luck to that Kerry crowd out there. I'm hoping we'll be meeting in the All-Ireland final. Johnny, the best of luck to you, and enjoy your night tonight. You're a superb sportsman and an absolute gentleman. That's all I've got to say, Johnny.
Thanks,
Mick. Thanks, Mick.
Bye.
Listen, Johnny, bringing back to what Mick said there about coming on as a forward in 1955, that, as you said yourself, you don't remember training. How did it all come about?
Well, 1954, as Mick said, we were very unlucky to lose the minor All-Ireland that year. We were up 5 points of beyond towards the end of the game, and we were hit by two goals by Dublin, which, we slipped by a point or two in the finish. Then I got my place. Dan McAuliffe got injured then for the juniors on the All-Ireland final, the away final. And I think it was Dan McAuliffe, Lord to mercy him, he got injured. He hurt his ankle, I think, before the away final. So I got on the junior team for the away final, and we played over in Tralee. And I'll always remember that game because, for one reason alone, I played with Eddie Dowry. And I tell you, it was a fierce thrill for me at the time to play with a man that played in the mid-40s with Kerry. And I always cherished that game. We won an All-Ireland medal that year. And I tell you, with the junior hurling medal I won, I tell you, those two medals, I cherished both those medals as much as any senior medal I won after. Because the team I played with now, Pat Healy's father, Timmy Healy, Pat Spillane's father and uncle were on that team, Eddie Dowling, Sean Lovett, Ned Fitzgerald. They said the other way around, but I said Morris Fitz is a son of Ned Fitzgerald. Ned Fitzgerald was a good player too, I can tell you that.
Johnny, so, just before we go to the comment line, you were talking about the 54 final and you were beaten. I said I might have been wrong. It was a big blow to you, like in your foot. Was that a big blow not to win a minor All-Ireland?
I tell you, it was a blow, but I tell you, the one thing I don't... This is the way I was took it. Defeat, I take a defeat badly just after the game. You know, I hate to lose as much as anybody else. But the following day, I wake up and I move on to the next day. That's the way I go with it. And I never dally too long.
That's fair enough. And then, in fact, in that game, Kerry were 5 points up with 1 minute to go, and Farnham got a Dublin goal, and then near the end of the ball, Kavanagh fisted the Kerry net. That was an extra time. But we're going to the comment line with another good friend of yours. He's a Cork man. Nothing wrong with that, because you were often at the receiving end of the beating. Con Petty O'Sullivan, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Good evening, Weishi. Good evening, Johnny.
Good evening, Con. How are you?
Are you enjoying your evening?
Oh, I'm getting plenty of praise here anyway. I didn't get as much praise as that from the Cork fellas at times, I tell you.
Well.
I'm talking about you in the games now.
Now, Petty, what are your memories of him?
But my earliest memory of Johnny was listening to Micheál O'Hare in the 1955 final. And as how Micheál could put it, he says, this man, Johnny quality, he said, he's here, there and everywhere, he said. And he was one of the great forwards of the time. But I didn't see him play much as a forward then, but of course, he received this knee injury early on. But like many other players, Johnny, he might have taken the back seat and never to be seen again, but he came back as a goalie and was one of the great outstanding goalies of his time. I wonder what Johnny would think of the rule change in the goals, because Johnny was playing in goals at a time when they were charging in on him, you know.
What would you think of it, Johnny? Of the rule change?
Well, there's no doubt it made the goalkeeper's life a lot easier anyway, Weishi. At that time, as Connie said there, you were fair game. Part of the game for the fouls that time was to put goalie and ball and all into the back of the net, and so it's a lot easier for a goalkeeper at the present time, you know.
I remember one day Johnny charging in, and you know, somewhere it was Killarney, but I got tied up inside in the net anyway, and you were gone out and you faced the ball about 30 yards to your half peg out the side of the field, and I was still stuck in the net.
I can tell you, Con Petty, it was seldom he was caught by a fellow coming in. Come here, thanks for joining us, Petty.
Listen,
that's nice.
Johnny, A great sportsman, outstanding sportsman, a perfect gentleman. There was one of our own similar men on the Kerry radio there recently, Jimmy Barry Murphy. I'm sure he much the two of you. Listen, have a great night.
Thanks very much,
Nice to talk to you,
Eamon. A pleasure to pay a compliment to you.
Thank you, Paddy.
Thank you.
We should just on that 55. Do I understand you weren't on the Munster Championship panel?
I came on as a sub in the Munster final.
Right.
For a club mate of my own, Gerald O'Sullivan, he had died there a few years ago, a great club mate of mine, and he was the man Mick O'Connor praised there for winning county championship for South Kerry. He moved down to South Kerry and they won the county championship on a few occasions, and he was the guiding knight. I heard Mick O'Connor talking there recently, and he gave him magnanimous praise, Gerald O'Sullivan.
His son was playing centre field for the Legion yesterday.
Correct. You can't beat tradition, he was.
As a 19-year-old, Johnny, just reading on the 55 All-Ireland, a lot has been said, but they said there was unprecedented publicity for 10 weeks beforehand, and the day there was 87,000 people, which was a record crowd. What did it mean to 19-year-old going up facing Dublin?
No, I don't know, but at the time anyway, I was cool enough, I thought, I'd tell you, on the day. There's a big difference playing All-Ireland final in goal and playing in the forwards or playing out the field. I think myself, in playing in goal, you feel the pressure the whole time because once off goal and, you know, the curtains, it looks very bad for your team. But if you're playing in the forwards or playing out the field and you're not making the grade, well, there's always another day and you're not responsible for losing the game. I suppose that's the way it looks.
Well, Johnny, talking about 55 after you winning that great final, I was only a younger fella, I was a good few years younger, but I remember what we were living in my Maitre at the time. And do you remember what we brought down to the station for you? What did we bring down?
You brought down a donkey.
What we did, we were only our small kids around Maitre, and what we ambushed a donkey out of an old man's feet. Give us, and we dressed the donkey up in green and gold. As a matter of fact, most of the fellas that did it were talking to me during the week about it, said to mention it, and we dragged him into the platform, lifted the donkey into the platform, and we wanted to put you up in the donkey, but you wouldn't go with the Sam Maguire Cup. And there's a photograph here, given by Tiggy Fleming, bonfires blaze on Lewis Road. A group at the bonfire on the occasion of Kerry's 1955 All-Ireland victory and Johnny Culty's first All-Ireland. The bonfire was lit outside the home of Johnny Culty by his neighbours and friends in the Maitre district of Killarney, and they're all included in it there. Yeah.
There's a message here from Jim Tran thanking Johnny for all he's done for the Legion Club. A message from Shannon Rangers Football Club fundraising KLE at Listowel Arms on Friday night, Patrick's night from 9 to 1 a.m. And we see here we are again. Say hello to Dan O'Connell in Kilmare, and where is Dan listening to Terrace Talk right this minute? In the Aqueduct in New York, and this is from his family in Kilmare, so to Dan Fairjules.
Johnny, man, listen to us, New York. Do you want to say a few words to the immigrants? You often spend a good few days out in New York.
Boy, I spent a lot of happy days there. I tell you, first of all, I went there first after Kerry won the All-Ireland in 1955. We went over in 56. But I got injured in the Railway Cup and I wasn't able to play on that occasion. It was against Dublin again. I went there again in 1959 and made several trips after that. I could never thank enough the people of New York, especially for the hospitality, San Francisco and Chicago and Boston. We travelled all over and they spared nothing. They took weeks off from work and everything to entertain us. And when they come over to Ireland, I say they're not treated half as well, really, as the hospitality they give all the Irish people. They go to
they're listening over in Mickey Minan's pub, the Aqueduct in New York. Mickey Minan, a great footballer, wasn't he?
Mickey Minan's an outstanding footballer. I was talking to him recently at Mick O'Connell's doing the Southern, and he was an outstanding player from Rathmore, and his brother Timmy was outstanding as well. There were some great players playing with New York at the time.
Well, we're going for another quick break now. Just before we go for the break, another quick snippet here. We're concentrating a little bit in Johnny's hurling career more than anything, because most people don't know. 1967, Johnny, he won another National League. He beat Meath 4-8 to 3-3 in the final above in Croke Park. That was your third National League medal, I think. And John Barrett again was in quick. The playing year seemed to rest lightly on the shoulders of goalman Johnny Culty, who twice brought off 2-1 under staves from stinging shots at close range. The Killarney man, though beaten 3 times in the hour, showed again that he has the eagle eye and the fast reflexes that make great goalmen. Playing behind, as he was, a new frontman in Hennessy, he still managed to engender confidence in his colleagues with his every interception and clearance. A first-class display, this, by the Killarney man. That was 1967. We're going for a short break. Stay with us and tell us. You're welcome back to Tell Us Talk. We're talking to Johnny Culty. Eamon, you have some comments?
For Johnny, from Dan and Nora Lyne, Lawless Cross, the most assuming sportsman in Ireland. Dan O'Sullivan, Curragh, best of luck to Johnny, a gentleman to his fingertips. Brendan Wells, formerly Kerry board chairman, richly deserves all the plaudits tonight. The programme has revised many memories from a wonderful man, Johnny Culty's career in sport, particularly with St. Brendan's, Killarney, East Kerry and Kerry. I would regard him as a keen sportman and a very wise mentor. And finally, we should just two referees, Michael O'Sullivan from Ballymac and Danny Enright from Talbot, want to send best wishes to both of those, both in hospital at the moment, and we wish them a speedy recovery.
We do indeed. Just before we go to the comment line, Johnny, great friend of yours, John Kelly, was on to me during the week. He says, Johnny Culty, one of the greatest, most genuine sporting personalities to have graced the sporting arena of the kingdom in Gaelic football, hurling, basketball, rowing, golf, billiards over the past 50 years. He is still remained the same honest gentleman I first encountered as a schoolboy, and his level of dedication and commitment to his club is unique. It is also worthy of note that during the height of his county playing career, he could manage to turn in winning performances for St. Finan's Rowing Club in local regattas. He also enjoyed much success as a senior county team manager, and his success with the senior team in the early 70s, which won three National League titles, paved the way for the success which ensued in the late 1970s and 80s, and indeed it was rather ironic that he was not involved in the same role in the successful area, and that's John Kelly, a man who worked with you for many, many years. Great man himself, a great clubman, and a great chairman, Johnny.
Well, we see John Kelly would be typical, though, of our workmates above in St. Finan's Hospital. We went into work there in Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan's time, and as you know, he was a great chairman, Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan. And now, at the moment, we have Dr. Brendan Lynch. He's in charge of the hospital up there. But I'd like to thank my workmates down through the years, because it would be impossible for me. I had shift work and night duty and every kind of work. And the cooperation I got down through the years from the hospital, from all factors in the hospital, all staff members, it was unique, really. They never left me down for changes of days or working for me or facilitating me every way they could. And I have to say that without that cooperation, I wouldn't have been able to play as many games as I did.
Johnny, looking back on a career that saw you playing nine All-Ireland finals, I'm just looking here at, and Con Paddy touched on it, and the whole role of full-backs in that era, and the full-back line in front of you. And by my reckoning, Niall Sheehy and Paddy Donoghue were the two fellas that probably fronted you most often in that period of time.
Yeah, and just before Johnny answers that, we'll get back to that straight away. We'll go on to the comment line, Johnny, because there's another man on the comment line who wants to talk to us. And again, great friend of yours, a man who admired you and very much. And just before I go to him, I'm going to go to Kerryman Report on the Munster Minor Hurling Final, Munster Minor Hurling Championship match and 1951. It says, young goalie saves Kerry Minor Hurlers from heavy defeat, a brilliant display by their 14-year-old custodian, Sean Culty of Killarney, Sam Kerry, from having more scores registered against him at Limerick on Sunday. And he finished up Limerick 1-7, Kerry 2-1, a man who was at the match. From Kilgarvan, Dennis, you're welcome to Tell Us Talk.
Oh, but I am glad I can't.
You're more than... Do you remember that game, Dennis?
I do indeed, and it was a great boost for me to come on after my good friend, Connie Paddy.
Right.
Who never hides his great admiration for Johnny Culty. I have the wonderful privilege of being a great friend of Johnny Culty since 1951. As a Kerry hurling selector, I make the proud claim that I saw him play his greatest ever game for Kerry. And there were countless great games. That was in 1951. At the age of 14, he was our county minor hurling goalkeeper against Limerick in the Gaelic grounds. Limerick had a narrow 1-7-2-1 win, but the Gods wouldn't stop bullets and hailstones and won the admiration of the Gaelic grounds. I saw him outstanding when winning three minor hurling titles with Killarney and played against him in fine Killarney hurling sides, including the three games in 1957, when the county champions to the draw in Killarney, McGranville's field in Kilgarvan was packed to overflowing for the replay, another draw. That was the evening of an unusual score, I suppose, if Jackie Lyon tells the story of a try. And then the replay in Kinmare level again at half-time before we just barely pulled out. He won so many national, I suppose, four national hurling league titles with Kerry. And in that time, you know, you had teams like Leagues and Offaly and Antrim competing in Division 2. In the golden decade of Kerry hurling then in the 1950s, when Kerry graduated to Munster Senior Hurling Championships, he established himself as one of the leading goalkeepers in the country. When Kerry met Watford in Kenmare in 1958, they had only lost the previous year's All-Ireland to Kilkenny by a point after a replay, and they went on to All-Ireland glory the following year. That glorious day in Kenmare, when Kerry almost created the shock of the championship, definitely saw Johnny established himself in the top flight of hurling goalkeepers.
Guinness,
he was a sportsman supreme, a man of dignity and modesty, and gentleman to his fingertips. He begged a head or ish.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Dennis.
Johnny.
There's one thing I was involved, as I say, for years with the hurlers, and I just like to mention, in that time, the hurling selectors I met down through the years, the likes of Jimmy Flaherty, we were to a lot of these people now, John Joe Sullivan, Jackie Power, Billy Stack, Johnny Hussey, Richie Purcell, Dennis Peer, Joe Munchnook and Paddy Drummond, the last of those people.
They were a great bunch.
Yeah, they were a mighty bunch, there's no doubt about it. I would also like to say the same thing about the football selectors we came across. Jackie Lyon there and John Joe Sheehy and Johnny Welsh, Mort Kelly, Mike O'Shea, Father Curtin. You know, in our time, we probably only came across, I suppose, altogether maybe about 14 or 15 selectors between both Crowdery.
Dennis, thanks for joining us. Got a mahagot? Thanks, Dennis. Always nice to talk to you. Eamon.
Few messages here for Johnny from Marcus Coffey, and also from Noel McCarty, who said Johnny was a good footballer, but he was the best holding goaler he ever saw. That's Noel McCarty, Clarny, and from Tommy Regan and family, congratulating Johnny on a fine sporting career, and Tommy is remembering 62 when you destroyed his dreams.
Johnny, just before we got to the comment line, you were talking to you about fellas above in the hospital looking after you. Before I retired, you owed me a few hours, and I never got them for you, because way, way, way back, you were playing in the National League final, and you were on night duty, and the train wouldn't be back into Killarney until 11 or half past 11, and you said to me, will you do a few hours for me, do 3 hours, and I'd be back from Dublin. You won the National League the title, you jumped on the train and got back, and I remember you landed in with Joan was after giving me the sandwiches to bring up, and you had your sandwiches above, you came in, you went on duty 12 o'clock. I never got back to those few hours, you still loaded me. We're going to the comment line now. I need your man on the line to talk to you, Dinny Murphy. Dinny, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Hello, we see
you worked a good bit with Johnny.
Yeah, I done a lot of dealing with Johnny there, and I'd just like to wish him the best there tonight. When I was 13, Johnny was the first man that taught me how to kick the ball, I suppose. And I was involved with Johnny until I finished, he was the last man as well to show me how to kick it, because I finished with playing my senior career, and Johnny was still coaching us at that time. Now, Johnny was a great coach, of course, and a friend to everyone who he was involved with. Now, one of the great things with Johnny is that... he was a straight talker. Now, if Johnny had something to say to you, he said it, whether it be good or bad, and it was forgotten about in a short time. Now, if I could just tell you a small story there.
Where would you then?
Is that while I was playing with Killarney, Johnny was he was actually training or selecting the team at the time. Now, Tig Moyarty, as you know, a friend of yours as well there, Wishy, and myself used regularly called to Johnny's on a Sunday night. Now, on that Sunday, I failed to turn up for Killarney. I got waylaid along the line somewhere. But I still said I'd call to Johnny's on that Sunday night. However, I knew when I was arriving at Johnny's door that I was going to get it, if you want to a better word. So I can always remember standing at Johnny's fireplace, and I was afraid to sit down, but I knew before I was to sit down that I was going to get a telling off. And in fairness, Johnny did gave me hell that night for letting him down, and rightly so. But the way it is with Johnny, he'll give you a hell like that, maybe if he feels you deserves it. And then that's it. Then it was a case of sit down, all over.
Forget about it.
That's the way it is with Johnny. He's a straight talker, and he's a great guy. Yeah. And what you might know, some of the listeners might not know, but along with being a great sportsman on the field and basketball and everything, that when it comes to catching a fish, he's no mean feat that either. He's a great man to catch a trout.
Isn't he right tonight? Yeah.
So, just wish Johnny the best there tonight.
Thanks for joining us, Dinny. Eamon, just before we go for a break, have you something there?
No, just on a minor holding, I suppose, to fill in at the moment, I suppose it's appropriate since we were talking about holding, is that the Kerry minor holders are doing the very best they can at the moment, and this weekend there's an attractive tournament involving Kerry, Limerick, Cork and Clare, I think, and Watford, sorry, and that's on Saturday, 11:30 in Arfert, and 11:30 in Lixnaw with the final at Astor Stag Park at 3 p.m.
Well, we're going for a short break now, and listeners know there's going to be no 7 o'clock news tonight because we have more bigger news here in the studio to talk about. So no news tonight. Stay with us. We'll be back in two minutes on Terrace Talk. Paddy Cullity from Kilcommon dropped into me, you know, Paddy. Yeah. He's the man who writes all the beautiful verses, a gift in its own, dropped into me during the week. He said, Wishy, this is for Johnny. The names of Ring and Mackie, who were men of great renown, when Johnny Cullity wore the green and gold, he never let us down. His record now must be unique, the best that can be seen, a Kerry minor hurling star when he only reached 14. He could score from any angle, he could turn left or right. He brought glory to the Legion Club when he wore the green and white. A dazzling corner forward, his number was 13. He was one of Kerry's leading stars when they stopped the Dubs machine. With 5 senior football medals, 3 decades down the line, he brought Sam back to Killarney during 1969. In the hurling of the football field, the star of every game. At the recent Legion Social, he received the Hall of Fame. The Kingdom, no doubt, had many stars, some names we would now recall, but the man who spent 3 decades was the greatest of them all. Over a dozen years between the posts, a job he has well done. He is here tonight on Terrace Talk, the Kingdom's number one. Johnny, a gift in itself, right? And stuff.
Oh. Definitely a gift that anyone would be proud of. Paddy, of course, work with ourselves as well. The good state, we see. Above the same finance.
Yes, right. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Well, thanks, Paddy, for that. Yeah, man.
Well, we were talking there before, just finishing up, and when Dennis P was on about the holding, we were talking about the great fullbacks in Johnny's career throughout the 60s with Kerry, and obviously, as I said, Hard O'Donoghue and Nigel, he seemed to be the men in front of you, and as Con Paddy said, that was when fullbacks had to do a different job.
Both those men, Naishi here and Pa Donoghue, I couldn't give them enough for credit, because usually when somebody is asked who are the best footballers ever, they'd pick out Mick O'Connor and Mick Dwyer, and they'd pick out other people. But my best two footballers always were Pa Donoghue and Naishi, and I couldn't deviate from those two. Because I led a charmed life, I'd both of them were in front of me. I never got any kind of a bad injury. Naishi, he was the first on the scene. Talk of a driving force. You could see it now under the Mitchells, won 5 in a row. He was an outstanding hurler and footballer. I'd say I played as many matches with him down through the years. But still at the same time, Eamon, it didn't stop him from dislocating my nose in Tralee one day in the county final. And I'll tell you, a bit of a character, Niall. You're talking about back in those years as well. I remember one time we played the Mitchells at Killarney in a county championship match, and above in Fitzgerald Park here. And there was this big fella playing with the Mitchells the same day, and we were after playing Limerick in a National League match some weeks earlier, and this guy had a cap on him the same day, and I was doing a lot of look at him because I thought he looked very impressive, big and strong, and he was a good hurler, but during the game anyway he didn't play as well as I thought he should have played. But it was years after anyway, I was talking to Niall, and Niall said to me, did you know your man with the cap that there was a... But I discovered anyway, it was a fella that was after playing in the full forward line with Limerick previously, and he was completely illegal, of course, to play with the Mitchells. But that was the kind of broglie that was Niall as well.
But he wore the cap, Johnny, didn't he?
He had the cap, and that was the main thing.
Johnny, after 55, I'm scared, you played in the Railway Cup game then with Munster, and you twisted your knee going for a ball in the first half. What happened with your knee that time?
Well, it was the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, it was 56, and we were playing Ulster in the final, and the ball was going out over the Canad end, and I tried to heat it back, and my leg got caught under me, and some fella fell on top of me, and it was diagnosed being cartilage. We see in the 50s, I'd say it was, it was a tough operation of that time, and, you know, it's different now, like, you know, you have this keyhole surgery and all that, and it's a very simple operation. But that time I remember I got 6 days in bed after the operation, and I was out of circulation for a good bit really. So I made my way back and I played with the Hurlers in 57 there, as you said there, and I got on to Kerry Juniors again. I know it was 57, I think we played over in Kinmare against Cork. We were beaten as well the same day. And eventually I got back on the Kerry senior team. I remember I went up to Galway playing in a grounds tournament against Galway, and I was a sub for the forwards. But lucky enough, I know, I think it was Marcus O'Neill didn't turn up, and I was put into goal on account of playing in goal with the Hurlers. So that was, I think, the first day I played with the footballers in goal.
After the 1959 victory against Galway, obviously Johnny hopes were high for a good run, and suddenly we ran into the down machine.
We did, yeah. They were down with a great team in 1960-61. But like anything, sure, if Kerry were winning all the All-Irelands, there'd be no interest in it really, and even though we were the losers on both of those occasions. Down had a mighty team in 1960 and 61. There's some great players like Sean O'Neill and Paddy Doherty, who I consider was one of the best I saw ever. He was an outstanding player. Sean O'Neill was outstanding. James McCaffrey, all those. And I suppose it was good for the game. I always said that in the latter years, that I did my best bit for North-South relationships by letting in that goal in 1960.
Johnny, you often told me a story about the goal you let in 1960. You, and here we can't forget John Cullity, you were after getting married and you went to film. Talk to us about it.
Right, right. Well,
I remember... Talk to us about John first. How do you meet that lady?
Well, I tell you, Weesha, I don't know, would fellas of today get the same latitude I got? I got married to John in 1963. I better get the year right, anyway, whatever about anything else. And we had a perfect understanding from the word go. That was that I got plenty of latitude as regards playing football and hurling, and plenty of freedom, because I looked after the kids in there growing up, even though she wouldn't say I gave them any hand. But she was... a great woman, really, you know, and I wouldn't have been able to play, as you saw there. I was like a professional sportsman playing all these different games, but, you know, the wheel has turned in the latter years, Weesha. She's now after taking to the bridge, like, and I think I'm at home most nights myself when she's out.
But she was actively involved in the GA, Johnny, you know.
She was very active with the Legion. She formed a Legion Ladies Committee, I said. They were the first to be formed, and your own wife as well, and Jim Trant's wife there, Jim, my best friend, and his wife there, Mara, and Mickey Dock's wife, and Tommy Reagan's wife, and they had an outstanding committee for years. So she probably said to herself, well, if you can't beat him, she said,
bring us through that goal against Down, that one, that famous, infamous, whatever you want to talk about it.
Interestingly enough, Weesha, if you watched the game, no, I saw the game once or twice after. During the game, I played fairly well. I thought I wasn't too bad, but this ball came in high. It was one of those days, anyway, that I was so confident, anyway, I figured out I'd nearly clear it before I caught it. And that was the mistake I made, because I never caught it, and it slipped into the back of the net. It was a very soft goal, really. But the one thing about it, Weesha, I'm trying to get it there lately. I don't know whether I'll be able to successful or not. I'm trying to buy out the rights of it, because everywhere I go, I seem to see it. It was even before me when I went on my honeymoon. I remember I went into a film above in Dublin when I was on my honeymoon, and there was short, there were no short films they used to have before the game. Lo and behold, what was on, only that goal again.
And Sean O'Neill then, just for the record, Sean O'Neill, that goal that came off the top of the... there was another game against Down, Johnny.
68.
What are your memories of that goal now?
Yeah, we see that's the one that, you know, no, I'm usually now you're
was
watching...
It a fluke?
Well, it hit the top, very top of the upright, and it bounced down, and Pa Dunhu and himself were running back, but he just wasn't the right side, and he just got a hand or an ear or licked it or something, and when he tipped it into the net.
Was Down better than Kerry around those years, Johnny?
I'd say so, yeah.
Number of messages here from the Healy family, Lee Mangleton View for Johnny, Phil Gallivan, Secretary D's Kerry Board, a perfect gentleman in all his dealings with him. Congratulations to Johnny. Remember him playing with the Kerry Miners in 1954, Phil Healy, R. Thanks for all the pleasure, Pat Shukru, Lestroy, and wishing Johnny well, an outstanding lad. Congrats on the programme. He is an example to any young sportsman. Jim Redpath from Limerick.
And Mike Cronin, Johnny Mike Cronin, he from Fusser does repairs the roofs and goes up the ladders. Met him downtown today. I called it out. He said, make sure to tell Johnny Cullity that the best save he ever saw him making was against Sean Evans in 69 All-Ireland. He said it was a low one going in low at the foot of the post. He says he still doesn't know how you got it. That's Mike Cronin. We're going to the comment line now. Bernie O'Connell is on the line. Bernie, you're welcome to tell us talk.
Thank you, yes.
How are you doing?
Not too bad at all, no. Congratulations, Johnny. A lot of fear mentioned there now tonight for hurling and football and golf courses and everything, but I think you were the most all-round man I ever met. And the agricultural field, you weren't a bad man either. You were able to handle a spade or a pike as good as you would handle a hurl later. And in the handball alley, child playing, ring throwing, the only place I never met you wasn't the dart board.
You met me in the bog often, Bernie?
I met you in the bog too.
How was he in the bog, Bernie?
He was in the night there, like Peacock Connelly, often jumped to come on.
Yeah?
I met him in the bar too. We've been many happy days there together. What are we going in? And I said, no, we'll be here, Johnny.
Oh, you can't sit there, Bernie.
I won't, and you have about you. Anyway, Johnny, to get back to basics, congratulations. You deserve everything that was said about you there tonight. And we in the park, I'm listening to it. And as regards John, your wife, oh my God, I remember that committee all right. I nearly broke my heart. We were a forcing squad that time, and I traveled the country with him. And I tell you, they were hard to reason with, but they got on well with him in the long run.
Bernie, always nice to talk to you, and thanks for joining us.
Right away, bye.
Thanks, Bernie. We're going for a short break now. Just before we go for a break, back to the hurling again, 1957. Kerry hurlers lost to Tipperary, 88-22. To me, the saddest fact was that the heroic Johnny Culty should have been beaten 8 times during the last fateful quarter. The Killarney man was at his brilliant best against the sharp-shooting Tipperary sextet and made some unbelievable saves time and time again. He saved from point-blank range and one from Paddy Kinney in the first half, being the best, John Barrett said, I have ever seen. His clearances long and well placed were a wonderful leaf. What a pity then that he should have been made the target of at the end when little or no effort was made to outfield to ease the problems. Plenty more to talk about. We're going for another break in Terrace Talk, 0667. And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Big Golf Classic down in Waterville next Friday, March 17th, the late game in Fogarty Golf Classic. And there's teams of four, some vacancies still there. Lee Stander sponsoring an entrance there to Noel Cronin. That's the Damien Fogarty Golf Classic down there, Eamon.
Jerome Regan, Killarney, Loughlin played in the Legion 1976 team that won the O'Donoghue Cup. Says no way could they have lost that match. Johnny had every move planned. A gentleman, best wishes to his wife. Richard Breen from 62, Cahadnon, Angel Lee, wants the Donegal match played early so that the Kerry people can come home, especially those in the west. So we'll be trying to work on that. The vocational hurlers let us know that they're in an All-Ireland final, having beaten Limerick and Wexford. A 1950 county football final programme, hurling and football, played together the same day. The boys out in Castleton are looking for a programme. We're already in contact with Mike Parker, if anybody else have it. And finally, on referees, next Saturday night, there's an hour-long show on referees, Michael Cully and Pat McEnany, on RT1. Saturday at 9:20, well worth the look to see how the other half lives.
Johnny, not alone did you play with great footballers, but there are also great men behind clubs and they're great workers. I know that you have great time for people that mightn't be heard of but work very hard.
Oh yes, I have, Wishy. If you take there, old Bernie Connor was in the line there, sure, he was an outstanding club man there with St. Finnan's in the Legion. Fellas like James O'Donoghue, you have the likes of Larry Fagan there, Jim Trent, the Trent, and all those people, and Seamus O'Neill, and you know, all these people. You know them yourself, Wishy, in the Legion. Every club has them, really. If you go to the Crofts there, they have the Tiggy Flemings and Jackie Loodies and the Bombershays and Tatler and all those people. Every club Eamon could name them there from Castle Island and all round. And here he is, Kerry, you know yourself. The clubs here, they're outstanding clubs now at the moment, like, you know, and they wouldn't be there really only for the officers and the followers. And saying that again, like, you know, it's like the followers in every club, you have them in the county, and there would be no football or hurling without the followers, like, in there. No.
Johnny, bringing on back to your career, you had the honour of captaining Kerry to an All-Ireland victory, but it came as a bit of a surprise, really.
It did, really, because there again, now, East Kerry had won the county championship and the Crokes had won the East Kerry League here, the East Kerry championship, and they hadn't any man on the team, so they nominated me, which was, a lot of people didn't expect it at the time, and I possibly didn't expect it myself, so it was very, it was a good gesture by them, and I really didn't expect it, and captain of the team, I didn't feel it any great onerous task. It was a privilege to captain the Kerry team, and I was delighted to captain the Kerry team, but captain, it is a bit of a test as well, you know, making a bit of a speech and things like that, you know.
Johnny, it's like the proper we heard me holler here on there, that save you made from Sean Evans just after the throw-in, everyone recognised now it was crucial and it saved the day for Kerry, but you had studied Sean Evans, I know that, and you knew, you had a fair idea what type of a kick you had, because in the week previous to that, you had me putting shots at you in the line that Sean Evans would do below on the old seminary field. Yeah. Talk to us how you read that game.
Well, the one thing about it, which you mentioned there earlier on, or Raymond mentioned it there about Nye Sheehan Pardunno, I had a good understanding with those. And if a player got a fair close-in shot, one of those was covered the right-hand side of the goal, and I'd cover the left myself. So Sean Evans got the ball, and he turned, and he shot, and as our understanding, both of us, pardon me, he covered the right inside the goal and I covered the left, and luckily enough I saved it and I cleared it, and that's the story of it, really.
What was it like to be the first man ever from Killarney to bring home a Sam Maguire Cup? No, Dick Fitzgerald, there was no Sam Maguire in his time, you were the first man. Johnny, what was it like to come home with the cup?
I tell you, Wishy, the one problem I had was Micheál O'Shea and Seamus McGallagher at the time, they said I should, if we won that All-Ireland, I was to say a few words in Irish and that was to be the end of it. They said there was going to be no English at all, like in the speech. So that suited me fine. The only thing about it, my Irish wasn't too strong. So they wrote out five or six sentences for me. and I put him into my stocking during the game. I had him just to give myself a bit of a reminder in case we won. But at half-time, the game was, I thought it was going against us. I said, this thing is a bit of a jinx, and I caught it, and I tore it up, and I threw it away. So the second half worked out better, and the few sentences, I thought of them anyway, it worked out okay.
Dr. Eamon and Jackie Lyne, two great trainers, you trained at the bottom.
Oh, outstanding man. So Dr. Eamon, if you look at him, he trained from 1924 up to 1962. That was a fair record. He still only won. Only I'll say, like in that time, he won. He had all Ireland. He had all Ireland wins. Now, I found him. You know, he was a great organizer. Wishy. Everything was laid out. You didn't have to worry about anything. He was a great motivator. Great. And the one thing about it, which most people won't understand now at the present time, he wasn't a selector in any one of those teams. Yeah. Jackie Lyne, clubmate of my own. Jackie didn't tolerate any kind of missing. He was a fella, if you made a mistake, you heard about it from Jackie, and I'll tell you, he was a great trainer as well.
All the great goalkeepers, Johnny, they seem to have a long life in goals. Is it experience brings them on, or is it just that it's an easier job?
I suppose physically it is easier, but at the same time, like, you know, you want to be in good physical shape, like, you know, because you might only get three or four shots in a game. You must be on your toes. I tell you, I often came out of games myself, important games, and I might get a kick in the whole game, and I was as tired the following day as if I was after playing two matches.
Johnny, you retired after the 1966 Munster final, but you made a dramatic return for the All Ireland semi-final against Longford, where the Killarney Radio Kerry Studios are here now, just outside here, outside the door here. There was 200 people standing around the Park Place Hotel. You were one of them waiting to hear the team to play Longford in the All Ireland semi-final, and you had four tickets in your pocket, but things didn't turn out like we expected.
I was asked to play in the semi-final against Longford by Jackie Lyne and Ty Crowley, and I was in good shape enough, really. You know, I wasn't playing with Kerry at the time, but that's something that happened that time, which it wouldn't happen at the present. It happened with Jim Brassen. He came home in 1955 to play in an All Ireland final the week before. I was asked the week before to play in a semi-final, so I thought if the selectors thought I was worth my place, I'd play, so I played.
But there's more than Shawnee and Dunne in your family, isn't there?
A few daughters there. Daughters are there, of course, and I have a few grandchildren now. I better not start naming them, because if I let any one of them out, they'd be a lot of trouble. I have five grandchildren anyway, like, you know, so they're a bit young yet to be turning them to the football, like, you know, so we'll see how they
and
get.
And Orland Breed are living in town, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're...
And Joan, your sister is in Dublin.
Well, Joan, my sister, she was down, I was talking to her today, she's down from Dublin, she's married to John Cronin, she's one daughter from Dublin. A fanatic, he's taping this tonight, so I better give John Cronin a mention.
Mention from Mary O'Donoghue from the Legion Social Club, thanking you, Pat Minahan, Chairman, Donald O'Donoghue from Lockheed and Duff Killarney, congratulations to Johnny, from Martin Lane, the Supporters Club, congrats to Johnny, reminder, the bus to Donegal, leaving on the Saturday from Killarney, 8:30, 3:09, the Stoll 9:30, buses through Talbot, and all money must be paid up by the 21st of March. Johnny, question for you. You mentioned all the players who work, all the people who work behind the scenes. The players today, do you think they work, put more into the game, and do they get enough reward?
I think they do, yes. They probably work way harder than what we did. But my contention at the moment is the GA would have to look at whether they want to go amateur or professional, one or the other. I mean, if you want professional standards, you'll have to put in... professional time, like, and pay for it. If you want to stay with the amateur standing, like, you know, I figure out, like, you know, that's something they'll have to come to grips with. I said it's something that's going to come up very shortly.
Tommy Conroy, Johnny, the Kerry's, I send a lovely letter over to you. I'll be giving you that, Tommy Conroy. Thanks for that. Eamon?
The other thing I'd like to ask Johnny about is the whole idea of refereeing you and the whole idea of being a selector. What's the big difference playing, selecting, and you've been involved at the highest level at board?
Well, what I find out with selecting, usually when I'm selecting a team, like, there's no doubt about it, the trainer is the main man at the present time. If a trainer wants to get a player on a team, you know, seldom would the selectors object to that, like, you know. He has a big say, the trainer. Now, I find my role, if I'm a selector, just to assist as good as I can and, you know, give every help I can to the trainer, not to come in his way, and to keep a kind of a low profile and give him a bit of backup. That's what I found.
Johnny, Mike Murphy, the Legion, in all my time, did he ever brag about what he had won? No, he always told it, sends everyone the same, read everyone the same. Frankie Welch, formerly Ross Road, now living in Cremorne, all the best, Johnny, for the future, lovely programme. And from Maria Sullivan, the Secretary of the Legion, congratulations and best wishes, Johnny, for the programme. Johnny, of course, you trained Kerry 2 day, won four, was it three or four National League medals? You brought thousands of pounds to the county.
Well, I suppose I trained them in the early 70s, you know. I to the time, I suppose. We got into an All-Ireland final. We were beaten by Offaly in the final after the play. We won two or three national leagues. We were fairly successful, but as compared to Mick Dwyer, when he came on the scene, he really set the place on fire, and after that they cleaned up. Now the only thing I would like, just before we finish up, now we'll be finishing shortly, I suppose, I'd like to send my best wishes to a man I played with for years, Seamus Murphy, a man that gave great service to the county. He was a man like, you know, that Sean Murphy was his brother, as you know, well, and he probably overshadowed him a bit in the football, they were saying, don't you? But I felt myself that Seamus Murphy was as good a footballer that ever played with Kerry. And he's not feeling so well at the moment. I just like to send him my best wishes and to say that in my time playing with Kerry anyway, I never met a better footballer than him or a better gentleman.
Yeah, well said, Johnny, and so say all of us. Well, Johnny, we're coming to the end of the programme now. Dermot Moriarty's coming on after us. We stole a half an hour off the night. Listen, all we can say is thanks for the memories. 50 years of memories, and we pinned you down and got you into the studio. Not too bad at all. And listen, we won't even start to be thanking you, Eamon.
Yeah, well, like everybody said, a gentleman, and all my dealings with him, as I said, a gentleman, both on and off the field.
Johnny, thanks for the memories.
Well, thanks very much, sir.
Yeah, well, Jane O'Sullivan was in reception in Killarney, and Claire McCarthy was in Tralee, Sean Hurley was in sound here, Darrow Driscoll was in sound in Tralee, and Paul Sheehan, the Cockman, he produced the show. From Eamon and myself, until next week on Terrace Talk, all the best.